That's what we're gonna tr So that's what's gonna happen. Are you still with me? Should we talk about unpopular opinions? No?
Nous sommes
Talk
dans
it,
le
talk in the
Facebook.
mic, yeah.
Le Facebook.
Le Facebook.
All right, I'll stop that. My French is embarrassingly bad.
Le livre de visage.
I need to go to more classes. I need to take more French classes. I woke up this morning and I was like, hey.
Do they say livre de visage or do they say Facebook?
Facebook.
It would be better if it was.
Yeah. You know, in 2006, I was in Slovakia at a festival called Ecotopia.
In Bratislava?
No, not outside of Bratislava. It was in a small town near the Tatra Mountains in Slovakia and Central Europe. And there was a lady there, a German lady. She had dreadlocks and was very uppity. And she said, do you want to...
She was uppity?
I mean,
don't think you can say that.
Oh, right. Sorry about that. I've been programmed by the patriarchy, and I got to deprogram myself completely. I deeply appreciate that you brought that up, so thank you.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm at this festival, and she was great, and she said, do you want to be on my Facebook? And I said, yes. This is 2006, remember. And I said, yeah. And so she brought out this book, and it was a little sketchbook, and every page... was at the bottom of the page was the person's address and contact information, and the top of the page, the person was supposed to draw a picture of themselves, or she would draw a picture of the person. And so each page was a face. It was like a contact book, but with little drawings of the people's faces in it. And so that was a Facebook, and I think that was sort of a 60s kind of hippie thing that had sort of been going around subcultures as kind of a practice of like... artists getting to know each other, and then Zuckerberg at the same time was appropriating her kind little Facebook. This, you know, that's what a real Facebook was.
Speaking of my cat, I had this really great idea.
Is that because your cat's kind of a Zuckerberg?
He's a Zucker for good comedy.
Yeah. Well, I hear that we may have already listened to a creation by your cat.
Yeah. Well, we do want to listen to a creation by the cat because we do have to play some local music. So
this is extreme. I mean, it's not just local. It's not just it's a really unrepresentative musical community.
The cat is technically from Montreal, and he is a Montreal cat.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
There's other Montrealers here to just kind of represent the whole Montreal music scene.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so, you know, my cat and I were from Rosemont.
Yeah.
Petit Patrie.
Yeah.
It's the best part of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
uh-oh.
Well, you don't know if I'm the cat agent.
Yeah?
You're the cat agent. So, I'm on this
composition. Okay, yeah, she's... Yeah.
What does Kitkin think about this right now?
He's locked himself in a hotel room, and he's drinking milk and then collecting his urine in little bottles. And nobody can really talk to him. He's entering this deep phase of artistic genius where nobody can really follow where he's going artistically and creatively. And so... that's really what's going on with Kitkin at the moment.
How heavy is Kitkin?
How heavy is he? He's
30 pounds?
I have a story about this that I can't tell you on the air. Yeah.
All right, never mind then.
It's a very funny story, but I'll tell you during the song because we're gonna get kicked off the air if I tell you. It's so politically incorrect that people
all right, even for
Shiraz's show, it's gonna be too much.
All right, I understand.
And, you know, like, this show is definitely, like, super pro dog fighting, but we're, like, way beyond that. Okay, so here's the lead up to this song.
I'm anti-dog fighting.
I am anti-dog fighting.
I think that what if it was, like, weight classes for dogs, though? Like, would you be into watching toy poodles and chihuahuas and Bichon Frise going at it as opposed to the big dogs? I don't feel like the little ones could really hurt each other that much. So it'd be kind of just like watching a... It'd be just like watching a train wreck, except with, you know, toy trains.
But what if the little doggies lick themselves? They could hurt them, their little posy-wazzies.
Their little posy, they could nibble each other on the posy-wazzies.
They could nibble each other on the little toy posy-wazzies, and they'll shiver. It's true, all right. If you're going, like, under 8 pounds on the dog fighting, any dog over 8 pounds, not allowed. But if it's, like, an 8-pound full-grown male dog.
Yeah. Terror. Well, when I was young, I mean, the next-door neighbors had this Bichon.
Yeah.
And we were terrified of it. We'd go in the backyard, and this thing would come at us like...
Well, they can, you know...
It could jump all... It jumped all the way up to my friend's behind, and he was, you know, like a normal-sized kid, and it got up... It managed to elevate itself 2.5 or 3 feet or whatever and actually attach to his butt cheek and, you know, like, hang there for a second and rend his flesh...
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a thing.
Well, you know what? See, honestly, though, I mean, I went to Oaxaca, Mexico, as did you.
As did I. I have been to Oaxaca.
We've both been there, and both of us know, because we've both been there, that the streets are ruled by extremely dangerous chihuahuas.
That's true.
Napoleon syndrome. I mean, the chihuahuas of Oaxaca are famous for the fact, like, honestly, on like a serious level here, which I know this show is normally incredibly serious, so let's get back
on
track.
I know, Shiraz really tries to... get to the heart of political, intellectual stuff and just really tries to help people to understand things in a more intelligent and thoughtful light. And that's what I want to say that I appreciate about him.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad about the fact that he has been deported back to India.
It's not true. None of that is true.
It is. His visa ran out and he's...
That is a straight lie. I'm glad I'm here right now. That is a lie. He has not been deported.
He has been deported to India, and he's going to be living in India
from now on. You are lying.
And so that is. You know, I just wish him the best over there. It's a big subcontinent, and there's all kinds of opportunities, I think, for him there in comedy or whatever it is that he chooses to do.
Well, one, that's a huge lie. Two, I think it's possibly incredibly offensive.
Why is it offensive?
Well, I don't know. But the one thing, though...
People get deported. That's a real thing.
It is true.
Donald Trump is going to deport 7 million people as soon as he takes office. He's going to deport 29 million people.
29 million people?
Yeah.
Why is he going to deport 30 million people for?
I don't know why he's deporting 50 million people.
Do you think he's really going to do that? Do you think that's a real... Like, I can't even to understand if
I think
true.
Logistically it's impossible.
Yeah.
And also it shows a really deep misunderstanding of how exactly the American economy functions to imagine that you could just get rid of all of those people who are doing those jobs.
I mean, it's like the population of like BC and part of Alberta.
But I guess it's like pick your own strawberries is going to get to be a thing. You know what I mean? Because there's not going to be anybody doing those kind of jobs, which, you know, people shouldn't have to be doing anyway, because it's horrible to be doing backbreaking labor like that and getting paid horrible wages for it in the first place. So that situation is totally ridiculous. Anyhow,
it's absolutely hard, and it's not just in America. I mean, I personally worked many seasons in the Okanagan Valley, and I know all about it. And I've been on farms where incredibly questionable stuff has happened. And what's crazy is I've actually brought questionable stuff to the authorities, and they just seem to completely not be able to deal with it at all. Like, you know, I think that there just needs to be more protection for those types of people. And I think one thing he might just do is he might just take, instead of actually physically deporting these people, he might just take away any little shreds of protection they had for the transient workers or anything.
It's going to be awful no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so let's talk about this song, because we're getting way off topic here.
Yeah, we are.
We're really talking about Bratislava.
Oh, yeah.
Just what there is to do in Bratislava. But let's talk about the song instead.
Okay.
So here's the story of the song. I explained it to you already, but now we have to tell the tens of thousands of listeners out there on this show, hundreds of thousands of
people. Well, each person's equivalent of 1,000 people in my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Because everyone's different through phases of their life. Like, what's one person? I think one person could be 1,000 people in their own lives.
One person could be 1,000 people, and even one person is not really a single individual. If you think of people as just a kind of collection of cellular organisms that have decided to come together in these forms that you really wonder what they're thinking.
I mean, we're apparently controlled by the little bugs in our stomach all the time.
I'm controlled by the little bugs in my stomach and sometimes in my bowels.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Did you ever notice when you're coming home and you need to just kind of go to the bathroom that as you're getting closer to your house, it becomes a thing that's like, oh my God, am I even going to make it up the steps?
Yeah, it's happened.
Why is that? You know what I mean? It's like some kind of psychological thing. You're out all day and you can't get it done, but then you get close to your house and you're all of a sudden you're walking down the street like, oh man, you know, there's the neighbor who wants to talk to you and you're like, I can't talk to you. I don't care if you're the chief of police. I really just got to go inside right now.
I know that's your situation.
It's my situation.
Your neighbor was just trying to be friendly, and you yelled at them, said you couldn't talk to them, you had to go to the washroom, and then you didn't come out later, and that person may or may not have authority, but luckily they're very nice. Luckily you have nice neighbors.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying it was the chief of police. I was just trying to pick the most kind of, you know, it would be like the worst person to sort of yell at on your way. Well, maybe it would be fine. I'm sure that person would be understanding.
He might be an understanding person. I mean, it's a human thing. We all have that problem. We all have to defecate at times. We have to do it, you know, no matter what your status is in society.
I have to say that back in the days when I was teaching in school and marking papers and everything like that, there were a lot of unfortunate sentences that people wrote sometimes.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite was this kid who was writing an essay about Hamlet.
Yeah.
First year university student, and he was talking about Hamlet going and digging up the grave of Yorick.
Yeah.
And he said, Hamlet then proceeds to defecate the skull of Yorick. Desecrate would be the word that he was looking for, but that sounds incredibly painful.
So you were the one who graded my paper.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you. Back in York.
Back in the day. Back in York.
Yeah. York.
Alas, poor York.
Alas, poor York. Defecate.
That was actually at McGill. Alas, poor McGill.
Alas, poor McGill.
Lead on, McGill.
Lead on, McGill.
Lead on, McGill.
With your stallions and large groupings of individuals. The beginnings of hipsterism. 1999. What a year.
So, the cat was earlier today, the cat, Kitkin, was climbing on top of the keyboard.
Yeah.
And just walking up and down the keys. I was about to record a song, but then he jumped up and started walking on the keys. So I thought the best thing to do would be to run 4 different synthesizers through the keyboard, arpeggiating at different rates, and turn that into a Kitkin song. And so this is a 6-minute performance by Kitkin the cat walking up and down on the keyboard keys, and for about 3 minutes in the middle just sitting in one spot on the keyboard keys. And I'm going to play this for you now. This is an experimental piece of music by my cat.
It's exceptionally listenable.
I find it rather not so bad.
I'm feline-ing it?
It's coming up. So yeah. So let's go on. Keep going.
I was wondering if my friend Katie could. Where are you right now?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm on Caitlin's bed. We're just talking about farting.
Barry, bear in mind that you're on the radio right now.
You're on the radio right now.
Don't say anything controversial.
Okay, well, that's the truth. Hello, radio everyone.
Victoria.
I'm sitting in a bed, and it's very warm, and we're just farting under the covers, and it's great.
So you're giving each other Dutch ovens? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, no, I lied. Caitlin, we're farting over the covers. Caitlin, we're on the radio talking about farting. On CFUV.
Yeah, CFUV, the home of flatulence. Flatulence for your microscope. I wrote a song about it, actually. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear your song. Hold on. Let me put you on speakerphone.
Okay.
Is that okay?
It's a French song.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. I wrote it in French.
Adam wrote a song about farting or something.
Okay, you ready? You can sing along if you know the French words. Ready?
We can only kind of hear you.
Les enfants te pètent, 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 pètent. Les enfants te pètent, pet 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 pet. Les enfants te pet pet pet. That's all I got so far. That's like the hook. They'll be wrapped. What do you think? Do you want to sing along this time? Les enfants te pètent. Pète, 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 les enfants te pètent. Pète, 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 pète. Ah. Pète, 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 pète.
It's not a correct French.
What's that?
It's not a correct French.
So?
Les enfants pètent.
Les enfants pètent.
Les enfants pètent.
I know, but that's what I said. Les enfants pètent. But there's like a little bit of a bump there for the rhythm. Les enfants pètent.
Les enfants pètent.
Les enfants te pètent. That's like Italian French. So you want me to sing it the correct French way? Les enfants pètent, 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 pètent. Les enfants pètent, 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 pètent. Okay.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much.
Did you get your question answered?
No.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so, all right.
Thank you, Kate.
Let's talk about what we just listened to there. Okay, Elliot Sharp.
Button and String.
With a song called Shh, and that is a hot hit on the charts right now. And I think that he may be Canadian. But let me check my thing and see. I closed the window that I wanted. Oh, no, I can still have it. Okay, here we go. Yeah, no, that's not Canadian. But it's supposedly classical music. Experimental classical music. Okay, before that, Psychic Pollution, they're local folks. AI Existential Existence or something.
Existential.
The Last Door to Consciousness sounded a lot like Kitkin's song with a bit more of a beat. And then, of course, Kitkin with his experimental synthesizer performance.
And if you're just tuning in, Kitkin is a cat.
Kitkin is a cat.
That was rescued off of the streets of Montreal.
That is correct.
How many teeth?
He has one teeth.
He has one tooth and enjoys playing the synthesizer.
He's really good. A lot of people go to Juilliard and study and then try to work their way through Schoenberg and all of that stuff and, you know, really take making experimental music seriously, and they get degrees and things like that. But Kitkin just has a real natural sense of music. And so he's come to the realization that you don't actually need any kind of qualifications to make experimental music that sounds exactly the same as experimental music made by people who have advanced degrees in music.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for that.
Well, he's got a lot of degrees, for sure.
He does. He's a very well-angled cat. His obtusity is renowned.
And the way you described it, I mean, there's an intentionality between the way his little cute paws press down on the keys as he hips to one side or hops to the other side.
It's extremely cute. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I actually have some footage of it, which isn't that useful on the radio, to tell you the truth.
Yes. Adam's pulling out his mobile video device. It looks to be like a telephone, has what looks like maybe one or two cameras on it. It's red, and now he is showing us the device and what looks like to be a little cat in a dimly lit room. And the cat has a piercing look on its face as it stares at the keys.
This is footage from one of his performances.
Its paws are now up in the air. It's wondering which key to press next. Oh, it's sustaining. It is sustaining. Oh, and it's taking it. Oh, now it has changed its posture from a sitting to a forepaw crawl. Its back tail is playing a minor seventh. Okay, it has chosen its key. And what will the next motion be of Kitkin? We are waiting. He's bated breath.
You can see the focus. That's what I'm saying.
The cat is very
focused. He doesn't feel a need to go to another key right away.
The feline is really feeling it. What's interesting is he's moving his tail in rhythm with the metronome, which shows a level of participation in the music. That was fascinating. Thank you so very much for bringing that into the studio.
Yeah, that's the least I could do.
Thank you very
much. So I wanted to do one of those things that Shiraz does, unpopular opinions.
I'm surprised that you would have any unpopular opinions there.
I do. I have a couple of unpopular opinions that I wanted to talk about.
All right. I want to say that the views expressed do not express anything to do with the radio station or anyone else, but this crazy person who's talking to you right now. So.
Okay. Unpopular opinion number one. I just don't think yam fries are good. People keep saying, oh, yam fries, we got to get the yam fries. But they're gross, actually. They're not that good. Yams are not that good when they're cut thin and deep fried, and they just really are not tasty compared to fries. And
it's just a substrat for the mayo, that's all. You just want the spicy mayo.
Yeah.
I just want the spicy mayo?
Yeah. Are you saying that you hate yams all over?
No, I really like yams, but I just don't think yam fries are good. And they always charge a dollar or two more for the yam fries, but the yam fries are not necessarily tasty. I think people have been convinced of something that is a falsity. You can get mayo with the regular fries too, just so you know.
Well, okay, just to play the devil's advocate here.
You won't be at the cool ever. If you take a yam fries, you're more cool.
So it's an image. It's an image thing for you, but I want to fight through that.
So through your fashion.
I want to just like create my own style, street style, and not get the yam fries.
Okay.
So a second thing that I've started doing is eating.
Just a mayo.
Yeah, just a mayo.
Okay.
Mayo and. That's right. I ended up in the Mayo Clinic because I had so much of it.
Are you feeling better?
I'm feeling not so bad now. But I have, I've been sweating. I've been sweating white grease, which is sort of gross. But, okay, so that's unpopular opinion number one.
Where's John? We need John
If John from from Quite a Good Show could just contact the radio station and get in contact with us, it'd be great.
Although this is pre-recorded, so nobody's going to answer the phone, actually.
No one's going to answer the phone.
But, John, you should call anyway.
We need you, John. We need you at the radio station. You're a really important part of the show.
Yeah, you're pretty much the only thing that holds it together, because God knows that Shiraz doesn't.
That's a very unpopular opinion right there.
So,
unpopular with me right now.
Okay, so do you have any unpopular opinions?
I thought about this, and I think a lot about the siege of Leningrad during World War II, and I think that we should make it pretty clear ahead of time, just in case things go down.
Yeah.
We should make it clear who eats who in bad circumstances. Like who do we eat, dogs first, do we eat cats first? You know, do we you know, like who
Well, thank you.
I think that, I mean, it's a horrible thing to think about, but there's a triage, and I think there should be a triage for cannibalism, to just be like, you know, there's definitely people you want to eat last, is what I'm saying.
Do you want to hear a really, really bizarre story, though?
Okay.
Okay, just to give you an example of how eccentric my parents are.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that. I wouldn't expect that at all.
When we were young teenagers in our early teens and so on, my parents, we were all going somewhere or another on a trip, and I can't remember where, but before the trip, my parents sat us down in the living room very seriously and said, "We want to have this conversation with you." It was like formal, you know, we sat on one couch and they sat on the other couch looking at us, and they'd obviously prepared their whole discussion that they wanted to have with us. And they sat down and they said, "Look, so we just want you to know, if ever we're on a trip and something happens and we get trapped somewhere or there's like a crash or whatever, it's okay for you two to eat us if you need to survive."
Seriously?
Though, yeah. I mean, you know, thinking about it, I mean, if that was a serious, see, this is what I'm talking about. It clears things up. I mean, it's good just to have these protocols in the back pocket in case things go down. So, you know, in that circumstance, you're like, who do we eat first?
Yeah,
obviously,
that's exactly
your parents, right?
They had already predicted your unpopular opinion. And
I think it should be like a will. It should be like everybody's got to have their living will and their eating will. Like, what is your eating will?
What is my eating will? Well, yes, it's a very good question. But I think the thing is that once the constructs of civilization collapse, the only thing that really matters is your ability to wield physical power in order to survive in an apocalyptic state. And so your ability to eat rather than being eaten is going to depend on your ability to use your physical strength and intelligence to outwit other people and to survive.
What about the ability? People always say this, and I think it's a complete misnomer. I think it would probably be your ability to make friends with those who are still around and create unity. You know, it'd be the opposite of this. I think this is a very Alex Jonesian kind of concept of, like, when things go down, we're all going to be for ourselves. I think the opposite. The people who are lit, who will survive, will be the ones who are good at quickly making bonds and connections with those,
yeah,
you know, creatures, be it mutant or not.
Being able to call dolphins using...
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I just think that's why I'm saying using power of intelligence and power of physical power is to, you know, you can create alliances or you can build strong factions or you can wield some kind of power, but that those will be the people who are most successful at that as individuals or as groups will be the ones who choose who gets eaten and who doesn't get eaten.
Yeah, but I what if you had a society that was so egalitarian that you created, that by which, you know, you just didn't eat people out of respect because everyone sort of got things done. We all figured out what to do, and we're making things out of algae, and we've made friends with the crab people, and we've made friends with the bird people, and we're trading things between the two of them. You know, bird people and the crab people may not like each other, but we can be intermediaries, and there's incredible value in being able to make peace with the different groups.
And who among the crab people will send the sacrificial crab forward to be a feast for the people? Do we have the giant claw crackers ready for the feast of the crab?
Some high production right here. I can just imagine Shiraz listening to this in
India. And just right, like, his new home.
Being like, because... oh yeah, my audience is being well taken care of. The people love what's happening here. By the time I get back, you know, there'll be like a warmed up crowd. They're gonna be like, yeah,
they're gonna be hot.
They've been listening through the months, and now they're ready to get back into it. But I just want to say that, especially with that crab people bit, we are on a railway to success. And you know what? We're skipping the stations because we're an express train. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel as well. And I think that Shiraz's many, many listeners, which probably includes John, I guess. Or would he even listen if he wasn't on?
Let's let him know. That's for John to know.
You should text him and tell him to listen to the show tonight, because we're shouting out to him. And also I would like to invite, because I'm going to be doing Shiraz's show for a while. Well, Shiraz is away in India indefinitely. So, I mean, I want to invite John to maybe come and be my co-host, and I will do my best to pretend to be Shiraz. And I've already bought an entire case of Axe body wash so that I'll smell like Shiraz.
He doesn't smell like that.
He does. Okay, so he definitely does. And, you know, that's cool because I don't judge. So what I'm going to do now is I found this really great recording, and I think this is it. Palabra, Hot on the Beach. Palabra, probably for... Oh, no. Okay, I'm not going to play that one. I'm going to play that one in the next hour. I want to play this one, which should take us to the end of the show. And I think that this is just actually a 14-minute recording of a truck horn tooting over and over again. And so that'll really close out the show with some hot comedy, all right? Good. By the way, this song is called Lucier Oasis by Yarnwire from the album Currents. So there you go, just mentioning that. I'm not interrupting the horns too badly to tell you.
C'est comme ça depuis toujours. Et comme elle est libérale, il paraît qu'aujourd'hui c'est normal. Il y a plusieurs hommes dans notre vie, je suis pas jaloux, j'ai compris. Maintenant on pète au lit avec elle. On pète au lit avec elle. Oui, on pète au lit avec elle. On pète au lit avec elle. Oh bella ciao. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao.
Hey! Great song.
Wasn't it though?
Yeah.
How are you liking this horn scenario?
I think you're just horny.
Probably.
Hey.
It's still going in the background.
Is it still going?
Yeah, it's still going. You can't hear it because I've got the speakers on again, but I thought I'd just, you know. See, listen. Still going.
Love it. I love it so much. This is the sound
This is what it sounds like quand je pète au lit.
No, this is the sound of my morning experience, you know.
Mon expérience le matin, je pète au lit.
C'est bon ami, ouais.
Je pète dans la salle de bain. Je pète dans la cuisine. Dans le métro. Bear, bear, bear. Yeah, ba, da, da. Bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow. Baby, it's shout out to K-Romaine. Oh.
Line taps cassette out from now. Where's my friend I'd prefer? Bush's health scrap paper program, proposal guidelines, demo logs. The bicycles, oh the bicycles, the central Bobby D and the lovers and the new souls, $8 at the door, it's a Quentin Tarantino night.
And we knew that the yam fries were terrible. We knew that the yam fries were terrible. We knew the yam fries were terrible.
But I love those yam fries.
I hate the yam fries. Shout out to people who don't like the yam fries. Shout out to my people. My people hate the yam fries.
Sending my love to get and all the farmer friends.
Yep, my poutine is the worst thing ever. Shout out to the yam fry haters.
Machosen.
Shout out to Machosen.
Yeah.
Represent. This show is sponsored by Machosen. You are the Machosen ones. Yeah, Machosen. Let's do it. We got 20 seconds. 20 seconds to midnight.
Have a good time in India. Shiraz, I hope.
Yeah, sorry you got deported from India.
That's not true, you're a lying person.
Okay, and we are out.
You're listening to a previously broadcast program on CFUV 101.9 FM, The Voice of Victoria.
You're listening to CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. We also stream online at cfuv.ca. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and iTunes.